Today is May the 1st, Wednesday evening. We're on the Mercy and Compassion. We're continuing our looking at how the Lord views those that are in wickedness and rebellion unto Him, and in how He does His mercy and compassion. So, if you would, please turn to Zechariah. Turn to Zechariah chapter 11. And when we look at Zechariah and look at chapter 11, we'll see again that God would withhold His pity from His people. And when you look in verse 3, we find there is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. The shepherds here we find in verse 3, or the rulers, are greatly upset because their glory is spoiled. And the young rulers, or the princes, have had their pride taken away by the oppressors. God commanded the oppressors to feed the flock of Israel, whom they had slain and sold into slavery, and had not pitied them, but praised for becoming rich and not seeing the wrong that was being done. When you look at verse 4, thus said the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, whose possessors slay them, and hold them not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. We see here that even the rulers of Israel did not have any more pity. Here they didn't have any more sympathy. They didn't feel or express any pity. They did not have no compassion. They did not spare on the flock, even as the oppressors had no pity. And here we see that even those, again, of the men and brethren of Israel had that same mentality, so to speak, that they didn't have any mercy or compassion, just the same as the oppressors didn't have it either. And in verse 6, God declares, verse 6, for I will no more pity. This is God. God saying, I will no more pity. I will no more have sympathy or compassion or feel express pity or to spare. The inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, but I will deliver the men, every one, into his neighbor's hand and into the hand of his king, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. So even though that the oppressors that God used to punish His children, God still didn't recognize them as being right or whatever. He just used them as a tool, as an instrument. Even though they had no pity or no mercy, God still had mercy and compassion, but He used people that did not have that. And we can see when you look back on the history of Israel that their oppressors, being the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Grecians, and the Romans, they showed no pity upon the people because God withdrew His favor, His sympathy, and His sparing of His people. And He turned them over to their wickedness and their rebellion. And so therefore they had to face and suffer the consequences when God did this. So there we see that once they lost favor with God, God withheld that favor, turned them over to those who oppressed them. And in that, those that oppressed them showed no mercy or no pity. The 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, we've looked at that quite a bit before in other classes. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, Israel had been forewarned of the evils that would come upon them if they were disobedient to the voice of God and did not keep His commandments and His statutes. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Israel is warned by God through Moses in verse 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God. Here's the reason. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God. That they would serve their enemies that the Lord should send against them in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in want, and that a yoke of iron would be upon their necks. And this was all because of their disobedience. Therefore, in verse 48, thou shalt serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, thirst, and nakedness, in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he have destroyed thee. the Lord would bring a nation against them. And in verse 50, we read that it would be a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor. Here they would not show mercy. They would not be gracious. They would not be considerate. They would not be compassionate to the young. And when you think about that, this was the extent of the consequence that the Lord said, these people, when they come in, the old, the aged, that could not fight against them, would not, but those that are elderly, there wouldn't be any mercy shown to them, and even to the young, those that aren't in a fighting, young men between 20, 30, 40, even younger than that, that there would not be any favor, any mercy or compassion by these other people. And so, with God declaring this, we see out there that in humanity, there are those that have no mercy or no compassion. They are not gracious. They're not considerate of their fellow man. There's just some people out there like that. And the question that you have to look for us then, is it good for us to show mercy to the aged and to the young? Is that something that, if this is something that God withheld and didn't show favor for in consequences to the rebellion that the people did, is that something that, on the other side, that we should have? Should we exhibit that as far as mercy and compassion to the aged and to the young?
Yep.
I believe we should. I believe we should. And I think that is an attribute of God. And in certain times, He withholds that due to disobedience and rebellion. But I don't, to an extent, you know, like we talked about before, to those that are steeped in their rebellion, we still love them. But at times we withhold our favor from them. We don't do like we used to do for them. We withhold. We still have mercy and compassion for them, but not to the degree that we would do for them like we had done once before. And I think we realize that. And somewhat that's God also, is that at a certain point in time, He shows mercy and compassion, but when you are to the point that your heart is totally turned away from Him and it's become hardened, then He withholds that favor. And that's usually when things kind of go bad. So here we see God using a heathen nation consisting of mankind which would show no mercy. They were of the nature that they would not bend or stoop in kindness to a person who was in an inferior position in life. There would be no favor to bestow after imploring them. No matter how hard you implore them, they're not going to show favor. And these nations did not. They would not be moved to favor. They would not be gracious nor considerate to show favor. Nor can they be inclined towards another to be merciful, to be compassionate, to be favorable. Have you ever known people that are inclined that way, that they can't? Is that something that is learnt, or is that something that is inherent in them? Let me put it that way. Which one would it be?
Learned it.
It is learned. It's not that way. Children aren't that way. So it's something that is not inherent in us to be to where we're not inclined toward another to be merciful or to be compassionate or to be favorable, but that is something that is learned over time. And what causes a person to learn that way and to be that way? What causes one to do that? It could be to the environment, Johnny, that they're in, that they could see in that environment that they're in that turns them that way as far as the example and the influences they see.
Most times when you big kids have been taught, you know, that's usually how you teach kids.
You have some people, though, I mean, like I'm sure Jeffrey Dahmer's mom and dad were not anything like that. So there's different factors that play into that.
And what would that main factor be? One's what? The condition of one's heart. That is going to be the main factor. When a person, and we all know those that have been so beat up by life that they're shot. I mean, life has beat them up so bad that they don't show any mercy or compassion. They don't have any for anybody else. If life has been cruel to them, so be it. That's just the way they are, and that's the way they feel it should be to everybody else. I'm sure in the social environment, in a lot of the training that Donnie has had, you probably ran into this and seen it as far as that there are parents that show no mercy or compassion. There's estranged parents that don't show it. There's those that are, boyfriend or girlfriend with the mother and the children, that they don't show it. And you see a lot of this in this day and time now, that a mother's love without natural love, I believe it's Romans chapter 1 that says without natural affection. That's what a mother should have, is natural affection. And if she does not have that for her children, then she's lost all mercy and compassion. And a mother that has no compassion for her children, what do we see that mothers are doing with their kids? They're taking their lives. They're destroying them. They're killing them. They're murdering them. And you wonder, well, why? You know, and it has to be coming from the heart. Now, granted, I do realize that there's drugs out there that causes and alters one's thinking. There's mental conditions and illnesses that causes one's thinking to be askewed. But still, deep down inside, we were not born that way without mercy and compassion. You can see it every day with kids. Yes, they have their squabbles and this and that, but they also have mercy and compassion that they show, and that's something that is there with them. So, any other thought or comment on that? If you would turn to Micah, the 7th chapter. Micah, the 7th chapter, minor prophets after Jonah. Micah, the 7th chapter. Even though these heathen nations were to the point that they did not have any mercy or compassion, they were human beings just like us, but they showed none. God is not like that. God is not so. And that is not His nature. When you look at Micah, the 7th chapter, in verse 18, we find Micah asking, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth, he desires, he has pleasure, he is pleased in mercy." He's pleased in kindness, steadfast love, loving kindness, grace, goodness, devotion. Not saying that He overlooks it. There's consequences to sin, and God is just, and in that there has to be a penalty that has to be paid. But again, who is God like unto you that pardoneth iniquity? We know that there are people that won't pardon, but God is not like that. God will pardon if a person truly changes his heart and he is of a broken and contrite spirit. God will pardon him. And we'll see that later on when we get through with this, as far as God add his attitude toward those that are rebellious and wicked, as far as when you repent and so forth. But God delights in that. That's His pleasure in mercy in this. And that is His pleasure. And then the question would be, if this is the attitude and the essence of God, should we not also delight in mercy and compassion for others? Should we not? Does God use man who has no mercy or compassion in his judgment against others? He certainly does. But yet, God delights. He doesn't retain his anger forever because he delights in this. If God didn't delight in having mercy and compassion, then what would happen to His anger? His anger would not be appeased. There's no way. What was it that took to appease God's anger with man? What was the ultimate sacrifice? The blood of His Son. That is what God said it will take to appease me. And that was the death of His Son. Nothing else could do it. And God delights in that, to have that mercy and compassion. And so we too also need to delight in mercy and compassion for others. We ought to desire that, have pleasure in that, be pleased with that, to have that. Turn to Isaiah, the 13th chapter. And as you see so far, the nature and attribute of God is a little bit complicated. When you see that, how does He mesh all of this together? How does He withhold His anger and have mercy? And at times He withholds that favor and that mercy and compassion. And it's complicated, but that is why God is able to do it, because He is what? He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's ever-present. He knows everything. And most importantly is that He knows your heart. He knows my heart. And so based upon that, on what He knows, is how He deals with you and I on that. God does use man who has no mercy or compassion in His judgments against others. He certainly does. When you look at Isaiah chapter 13, and when you look at verses 17 and 18, He said, "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them," being the Babylonians, "which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it." Nothing was going to tempt them. They weren't going to have any regard. When they were stirred up, God was going to use them and stir them up, that He would stir up the Medes against the Babylonians, and He would execute His judgment upon them. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, He said, and they shall have no pity. They would not have any love. They would not be compassionate. They would not be merciful. They would have no compassion on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. Now, how do you reconcile that with God? He said, "I'm going to use these people. They're going to go in. They're going to take on the Babylonians. They're going to execute my judgment. And when these men come in and they go to war with them, they're not going to have any pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children." That innocent children will suffer. Innocent children will die. And then you have those that say, "Well, where's the mercy and compassion? Where is the mercy and compassion of God to allow that to happen? For children to suffer and to die. And for those, the fruit of the womb and the young mothers to be killed and the children to be killed. Where? How do you reconcile all that? How do we reconcile that? Do we think that God just said, "Okay, now, since Babylon has done this and therefore I'm going to do this and that's it"? Is that why? Was there an opportunity for Babylon to repent? Huh? Was there an opportunity for Babylon to repent? We'll look here in a little bit of Daniel, where it was told the king what to do, and he could have repented. You have the same confrontation in your mind when you look at when the children of Israel were to go in to the land of promise. What were they to do? They were supposed to... They were to destroy all. They were to take the city and haze it down, that there wasn't anything left, and to burn it. Now, in doing that, that would mean the death of who? Children and all. Why was it that God looked at it from that standpoint? What was it? When you stop and think about it, I mean, when you stop and think of the summation of it, the people were idolatrous. They worshipped idols. They bowed down to idols. They gave their children to pass through fires later on. They did all of these things. And so, what did God say? What would happen to the children of Israel?
They'd be turned to their
gods. You'd be turned and doing the same thing. When you look at all the abominations that they did, why did God have to give laws against bestiality? Why did God have to give laws against all these licentiousness and lasciviousness and everything? Why did He have to give that in Leviticus? Because why?
Why? It starts with an idea. It never starts with just taking it up. It starts with an idea.
Okay.
You hear it from someone else. And you might think it's awful, but then it goes down to the next person, and someone finally, eventually thinks, that's a good idea.
And those nations were guilty of that. Because it said, Israel, you're not taking this land. I'm not giving this land because you're such good people and because I just favor you so much. But He said what? They're losing this land. I'm not giving it to you. They're losing this land because of what? Because of their abominations. And that's a strong word that the Lord uses. Because of their abominations that they have done. It's something that was abhorred to the Lord. Because of what they were doing. That man that He created would do such a thing. And so therefore, mercy and compassion was withheld. He used man to execute judgment against them.
Mary, in a sense, was God compassionate with those heathen nations and taking off innocent lives? Growing up and felt to that growth, they would turn the same in which they would be lost, and as far as the innocence of not knowing right from wrong of a young child, in a sense, with His compassion would have, in that sense, been there.
His compassion and mercy is for the children because they are in an innocent state, and in that, when their life is consumed, then where will they be? Okay. In actuality, He has spared them in their life. When you look at it, children, you look at it and you think, such a shame. In an extent, it is such a shame when a child's life is cut short. But then you have to look at what all is that child, what was he going to have to face? What did he have to go through? What was there that's going to be there for you know, his lifetime? Don't know how it was going to turn out.
But God knew how it was going to turn out. So it could have been why that child lost its life.
With those nations, they had ample time. They had more than ample time to correct their lives. And so He gave them over, those nations. And as you say, yes, He knew. And see, I think that's a very valid point. What does others think about that as far as God sparing His mercy and compassion upon the innocent, upon the children. Even though they lost their life, what is that in comparison to what they gained?
You don't worry about their soul.
Well, God's character is just, so we know it's just.
Right.
Whether we understand it or not, it's a just thing.
Right. So God does use other people. We have seen that. He uses other nations that have no mercy and compassion. If you would turn to Jeremiah, the 21st chapter. The 21st chapter of Jeremiah. In chapter 21 of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah to relay a message unto King Zedekiah. Zedekiah wanted to know what and how the Lord was going to deal with Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And it's interesting because when you look at Jeremiah's, how they treat Nebuchadnezzar, and then when you look at Daniel's, Nebuchadnezzar, but it's the same person, so don't get confused. It's just different spellings. That he wanted to know how and what the Lord was going to deal with Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, when he was making war against them. In verse 2 of chapter 21. Inquire, he said, I pray thee of the Lord for us. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. If so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us. The Lord gives his answer to Zedekiah in verses 4 through 7. And in the latter part of verse 7, we find that Nebuchadnezzar would smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity. He would not have compassion. He would not have sympathy. He would not feel or express pity. He would not commiserate. Nor would he have mercy. Compassion. He would not have mercifulness. He would not have love or any pity. And that was his how the Lord said he was going to deal with it, that the king of Babylon was going to deal with them. But we must remember that God withdrew his favor from the people because verse 5 states, and I myself, being the Lord, and I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. So even God was going to be fighting against them, and he was doing it through others. But lest we think that Babylon was right in the Lord's eyes because he used them in executing punishment against his people, we need to consider also how the Lord dealt with Babylon later on. When you look at the 51st chapter of Jeremiah, the Lord's words are recorded of his punishment and vengeance against Babylon that would come in the future. The Lord was going to send a destroying wind. He was going to send fanners, that is strangers or foreigners, who would come against Babylon. We read in verse 3, against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow. In other words, against Babylon, those that are coming to fight against them, okay, against him that bendeth, that Babylon, let the archer, those that come up, bend his bow, and against him that lifteth himself up in his brigandine, or coat of mail, and spare, to have compassion, to feel or express pity, sympathize, ye not her young men. Have no compassion. You that are coming against Babylon, don't have any compassion for her young men. Destroy utterly all her host. We read in chapter 50, in verse 14, put yourselves in array against Babylon. Put yourself array against Babylon round about, all ye that bend the bow. Shoot at her. Spare. Have compassion. Feel or express pity. Have sympathy. Spare no arrows, for she hath sinned against the Lord. And that's how the Lord felt. So even though he used Babylon, yet he is also executing judgment. But as we said, when you turn to Daniel, the fourth chapter. We still see the goodness of God in sending a message to the king of Babylon by Daniel. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 27, we read Daniel's words to the king, where he said, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins, thy righteousness, and thy iniquities. Break off your sins, king, by righteousness, and break off your iniquities. By how? By showing mercy, to favor or to entreat, to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. The lengthening of the king of Babylon's reign all dwelt within the fact that he would have to show mercy, favor, and treatment to the poor. And God would have lengthened his reign. But yet we know that he did not. And so therefore his reign was short-lived. When you look at the chapter 20 of verse Proverbs, we find in verse 28, that a king is kept or preserved by having and extending mercy and dealing truthfully. Mercy, kindness, goodness, loving kindness, and truth preserve the king and his throne or his rule, is upholden by mercy, kindness, goodness, loving kindness. Kindness especially as extended to the lowly, the needy, and the miserable is needed to be in the life of one who rules over others, and he will find favor from God. That is what we need to have within our lives, that God has. Kindness especially as extended to the lowly, the needy, and the miserable is needed to be in the life of one who rules over others, and he will find favor from God. Do we see that in our government authorities today? Do we see that in any of the governments that have it? How long do they last when there is not that kindness and mercy there extended to the poor and to the needy? That reign does not last long. God will not tolerate it. But we need to have that. If it's good for the king and it will bring about tranquility and longness in his reign, what will it do for us? What will it do for us? We're going to stop there. Any question or comments? All right. Thank you.